So I want to talk to you this morning about my vision. When I say my, I mean your vision. Your and my vision. But I put the word my in front of vision because it means to take ownership of. And talk about my car, my house, my wife, my children. What are you saying? You're taking ownership. We should have, my vision should be written on the wall. Your vision should be written on the wall. You and I need to take ownership of God's vision for our lives. Otherwise, we end up in cycles and circles and we go around the mountain. We need a map. And part of that map and purpose for your life, God gives us vision. Many times you go through a battle and you have to take out that vision again and remind yourself why you're doing it. Just like an athlete, let's say an Olympic medalist, he forgets why he's doing it, he gets tired, he gets lazy, and then he takes out that vision of his to run a certain time, to be the world's best. Sometimes you have to be reminded, vision is powerful. Vision is a function of the heart and not of the eyes. You must have a vision. But very importantly, you must have a heavenly vision that comes from God. That is, the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. God wants you to have a vision for your life. He wants you to have a vision for 2026. A heavenly vision that will stir you, that will drive you, that will get you to push through the barriers and the hard times. And when you want to quit, that you don't quit, that you remain committed to the heavenly vision. Like Paul said, I never quit. I ran my race. I finished my race. I was committed to the heavenly calling, the heavenly vision that God gave him. I want you to know, and you'll see this morning, every believer in Christ will have a vision from God. Everybody needs a vision to follow. If you don't have a vision for your life, you will follow somebody else's vision. Or you'll get caught up by anything else. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Or you'll chase things. Money, success, fame. Which are empty and fickle. And so if you look at examples around the world, you see people have all the money in the world, but they're broken. They're empty. That's why the Bible says, what does it help if you gain the whole world, but you lose your own soul? But once you have vision, and it's settled in your heart, and you've written it down, it's also important to speak over it. Declare over it. Speak life over it. Job 22 verse 28, the Bible says, you, that's you and me, will declare a thing. Another translation says, you will decree it, just like a king. When a king has an instruction and he makes a decree, it brings it into law. When the king says something, nobody can reverse it. Well, God has given us his scripture, and we don't reverse it, we believe it and we speak it. So God is instructing us here in Job 22 verse 28. It says, you will also declare. You will also have things to decree. Maybe you won't bring a law into this country, but there are certain things in your family. There's certain situations that you have to begin to speak to. There's certain mountains you have to move. There's certain winds you have to rebuke. There's certain stuff you have to speak. That's why the Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue, and he that loves it will eat the fruit thereof. So you got to watch what comes out of your mouth. You can have a godly vision, you've written it down, but you speak the complete opposite of it. Your mouth and your words must line up with your vision. That's why it says you will decree a thing, and it says, and it will be established for you. And the next part says, so light will shine on your ways. How many of you want to walk in a place where you know what to do? You want to go through life without stumbling in darkness. If we were to switch off all the lights here and tell you to quickly run out of the building, some of you are going to trip and fall because of the darkness. That's sometimes our lives. Monday to Sunday, we're just groping through darkness. But that's not the children of God. We're called to live in light. And it says, so light will shine on your way. As you go, there will be a light. You'll know what to do. You'll know how to avoid the ditches, the challenges in life. God will help you to overcome. So you have to write it down, and then you have to activate your faith. You have to speak life over it. That's the birthplace of vision, is also declaring it and speaking it in the beginning. You can't only just speak over it. You're going to have to put faith and action to your vision. You're going to have to start getting your hands dirty and do what you've written down. But the birthplace is speaking over it. Genesis 1 verse 3, when God created the universe, he didn't just mold it together. The Bible says God said, let there be light. And there was light. Amen. So God spoke things into existence in the birthplace. That's why you have to speak life over your dream. You've got to speak life over it. And not just share it with everybody that can steal your dream, but speak it. Amen. So before we talk about your vision and your personal goals and what you are trusting God for this year, we look at God's supreme vision for mankind. And we know it's salvation for everybody. What is salvation? To be born again. To have a true, authentic, real relationship where you don't just talk about the man upstairs, where you don't just go to church because your parents told you or you know it's the right thing to do. But salvation, we are truly in a relationship and a covenant with your Heavenly Father. And if you're not saved this morning, you're in the right place. So before we talk about personal visions of our lives, we need to understand God's overarching vision, the bigger picture. What is the one thing God desires most? And Scripture is crystal clear about it. 1 Timothy 2 verse 3 to 4. This is important that you don't miss this, because a lot of people are just ego-driven visions. It's all just only about themselves, and they don't see God's bigger plan. And that's why sometimes we're frustrated, because our plans don't come to pass. Our vision doesn't happen. Things don't work because we are ego-driven. We're selfish, vain ambition. We should understand and see the bigger picture of God's plan. God's bigger plan was to see salvation of all mankind. 1 Timothy 2 verse 34 says, this is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires some people to be saved. That's a good time to say no, pastor. He doesn't say some. Does it say some people? A few people. A selected few people. What does it say? Sorry? Come help me. Does it say some or how many? All. John 3:16. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his son. Who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy. I want you to know, we must always be reminded that our vision is being overarched by God's bigger vision, is to see everybody get saved. God desires all people to be saved. Your doctrine cannot be messed up that you believe only people that look like you, speak like you, have the same skin color like you can get saved. No, salvation is for every person. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, either now or in the life to come. You may be deceived, but there's coming a time where you will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the one, the only way, the truth, and the life to the Father. No man can come to the Father except through Him. That is God's heart, that is His mission, that is the driving force behind everything our God does now in the age of the church, in the dispensation of grace, in the timeline that you and I are alive today. God is getting the Gentiles to get saved. You and I are Gentiles. We're not Jews. We are Gentiles. The Jews rejected Christ. So God is receiving and saving the world, all types of nations. Amen. So that's his driving force. 2 Peter 3 verse 9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some may count as slowness, but he's patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So you have to break that mindset that God doesn't want everybody to get saved. Please understand that. That colleague or that boss, that friend of yours, that family member, it's God's will that they will all reach repentance, which is the starting point of salvation. So God is patient, the Bible says in 2 Peter 3. He's waiting. He's giving people time to repent because He does not want any person to perish until the final quota is full, until the last, where Jesus will now come back. But until then, God is on a mission. He's building churches around the world. He's raising up men and women to get saved. He's touching them. They're getting baptized. Hallelujah. We're going to have a very big baptism again soon. Public announcement to people that I have repented of my sins and I've decided to follow Jesus. Amen. His supreme vision is salvation for all people. And here's the key. Every divine initiative, including the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as well as the giving of individual visions and dreams, are part of His big plan, His master plan. About empowering believers and serves this ultimate purpose. God is not just interested in getting you to heaven someday. He wants to use you right now to advance His kingdom and bring other people to salvation. It's very important to understand that our God is a dream giver. Our God is a God of purpose. And God gives us dreams to all believers that are in Christ. And I'm not going to quote Joel 2 verse 28 to 29, but we know that scripture well. The Bible says where Joel stood up and he prophesied that in the latter days, God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. In the Old Testament, we all know what happened. God's Spirit would fall upon certain individuals for a purpose. And that purpose was also to advance God's kingdom and to deliver the nation of Israel. But in the new covenant, God's Spirit is poured upon all flesh. Everybody, male and female. Even servants, everybody, which we all are. So God's not only going to anoint the boss of the company, He's going to anoint the janitor as well. Everybody must have a vision for the company. Everybody must have a vision in the church. God doesn't just only give the pastor a vision, He gives everybody a vision to fulfill. All flesh, sons and daughters, old men and young men, male and female. In other words, everybody. Not just prophets, not just pastors, not just spiritual giants, but everybody who has received the Holy Spirit. When was this prophecy fulfilled that God would pour out all His Spirit? The day on Pentecost, when the church was birthed. In the last days, the Bible said He would pour out His Spirit. Acts chapter 2 verse 17 to 18. That was from the day of Pentecost, even today. The 23rd of February. Is it the 23rd? 22nd? 22nd. See, your past is in the future. Sorry. These manifestations originate from the Holy Ghost, where He pours out dreams and visions in the living era, in the modern day. God didn't only just give people visions in the Old Testament or in biblical times. God gives visions today. And I want you to know, God has a plan and a vision for your life. Are you in agreement this morning? And because they came from the Spirit, they won't contradict God's bigger picture of salvation for mankind. Instead, it will equip believers for service, for guidance, and kingdom advancement. Dreams and visions will include your calling and your career. This is where many Christians get confused. They think dreams and visions are only for spiritual things like evangelism, prophecy, or ministry. But Scripture shows us that the Holy Spirit guides believers into every arena, every area of your life, including your career, your creativity, your vocational excellence, your studies, the way you raise your children. Everywhere, God's Spirit is poured out upon your life. Yes, amen. Yes. It's also practical. It's not so spiritual. Many men don't come to church because they think they have to now be super spiritual. It's not true. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Ladies, don't make your men so super spiritual. Let him just be a rough, hairy, ugly dude that's gifted, that loves God with his heart. He might not pray in tongues every single hour of the day and quote every scripture, but God has anointed him for his career. He's anointed him to be the warrior over your family. He's anointed you to build his business, to finance the gospel, and you should, and we should be their biggest fans. Amen. You see, I come from a men's conference. And I sat next to let's call it an alpha male. And he was saying as well, he was so frustrated in the early days of his Christian journey that all his children, his wife, even the pastor tried to now change him and making spiritual. God doesn't save you to tame you. The same warrior that you were before you were saved, you will be in your future. The difference is now you live a life of purpose. Your heart is now, you are saved. The things you do now, you're not just using that fire to sin and to create damage. You use your fire. The hand that used to hit is now the hand that becomes the protector. Hallelujah. Yes. The hand that used to do nonsense is now doing good things for God's kingdom. So we have to understand this. That's why men sometimes don't want to come to church. You be you. You don't have to jump around and clap. And well, we should. The Bible says that we must clap our hands. But sometimes I've seen the most conservative people are the most spiritual. Their word is their bond. They are builders. So let's move on. The Holy Spirit guides us into every area of our life. He gives us vision. Why is God so important to be part of your life and your career and your job? Well, because He cares about every detail of your life. If that's the place where you spend 40 or maybe 50 hours a week, then it matters to God. If He has called you to glorify Him in everything, then your career matters. Your studies, your job, your vocation, the industry where you work in. So 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31 says, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do to all the glory of God. Whatever you do, not just preaching or worship, whatever, that includes maybe dentistry, engineering, education, business, art, sport, politics, technology, health, medical, and every other field, whether it's agriculture, mining. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 verse 10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So that means God has a walk, a journey, a path for you and for me. The path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Your word is a lamp unto my path, a light unto my feet. That's why it said you will decree a thing and the spotlight will come up and you know what you need to do. As a doctor, you'll know how to operate. As a businessman, you know how to trade. As a fisherman, you'll know where the fish is. But Jesus, we've toiled all day. Nevertheless, at your word, we will throw our nets on the other side. And so they take a step of faith. And they have a record-breaking catch. If Jesus wasn't into business, then why did He bless Peter's business? Well, because Peter also made his boat available to Jesus. Here it is, Jesus. So he climbed in his boat, pushed out a bit, and he started to preach from Peter's boat. There are things that you have that we must give to God for the advancement of His kingdom. Amen. God needs more than just your money, okay? He needs your voice. He needs what you have, the resources, your influence, your ability to advance your house. Open up your house for home sale. Open up your beautiful car for visitors. Some of you ladies can make nice food. Come on. Open it up. God prepared good works for you and me beforehand, before we were born, that we should walk out. That's part of our vision. I want to know what is God want me to walk in. That's why I write it down, so I can remind myself. And that vision is going to require faith. It'll be an excitement. It's going to be a big vision. It will scare you. But then you know it's God. Otherwise, you can just do it yourself. But these works, it's important to know, they're not just spiritual works like evangelism only. Although it can include evangelism, these works are also designed for you to have in every sphere of your life. And often God reveals these through dreams, visions, and our deep inner convictions, our calling, our desires, our expectations, what we want to do in our life. So this is important to understand. Your natural talent and spirit-empowered calling. There is a difference between the natural talent that God has given to you and a person who has been filled with the Holy Ghost and empowered for a purpose, a calling, and a vision. God gives talent to everyone, whether they're saved or they're not saved. Whether they serve Jesus or not, the gifts and callings, the Bible says, are irrevocable. There are highly successful people in the world today, not because they're great, but because God gave them gifts. You might say, but they don't serve God with it. That's fine. They will give an account of that. God has given them gifts, like He's given you and me, a gift and a talent, a natural talent, an ability to run, ability to speak, ability to sing, ability to lead. Every person has been given a talent, both believers and non-believers alike. But when the Holy Ghost gets involved and you surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I want you to hear now, those talents can be elevated and directed for God's kingdom purpose. That's why Jesus said, don't just lay up for yourselves treasures on this earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where the thief, where the moth, where the rust cannot come and steal. There are rewards in heaven, my sister, my brother. It's wonderful to have a success on this earth, but let me give you a heavenly purpose, that one day you're going to die and you're going to give an account of your life and what you've done on this earth for God's kingdom, for His purpose, for His church, for His body. You will be rewarded for it for eternity, forever and ever and ever. Let us not be so earthly minded that we are no longer heavenly good. Amen. It's a sad day when the Christians are competing with the world to outsmart them in their own game. And the kingdom of God is suffering because they're chasing things that are of nothing, that has eternal value. Now we should be wise, we should plan. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. But you should not be building castles on sand. Jesus said the wise man built his life upon the rock. When you have a heavenly vision and you align your heart and your works and your time and your devotion to a heavenly cause, one day when you stand before Jesus, or maybe the storm of life will come, it's not going to come crashing down because your life is built upon the Word of God. Listen, this is a word for somebody. You think you're going to fail. You think you're never going to bounce back. You think people are going to write you off. But you've been building your life on God's Word. And the Bible says, when the storms come, oh, there will be storms that will come. But the Lord says this morning, because you've chosen to build your life upon the rock, you will outlive the storm. You will outlive the crisis that you are facing. Give Jesus a praise for His Word this morning. Hallelujah. We receive Your Word, Jesus. Hallelujah. So when the Holy Ghost gets involved with your talent and you start to get serious about your life, as a young student, you're not just here to play games, but you have to get on with the studies and be the best and win souls and learn to serve and develop your character and get involved. If it means you must walk to church, then walk to church. I don't have transport. Well, climb on your bicycle or run and get to church. There are people in this church that used to catch 3 taxis and walk about 3 kilometers and then bring new shoes, dust off their tackies, put it in a bag because they knew they had to get to the house of God. How far are you willing to go for your future? How far are you willing to invest into your spiritual destiny? No, it's too far. We can't go. Well then, walk, hike, climb. Get yourself a signboard that says CRC, and as you see everybody driving to this building, ask for a lift. Say, are you going to CRC? Yes, I've got space, thank you. Be creative, man. Get a vision, get passion. What's driving you? First little set, you don't have vision, that's your problem. You need vision, because if you have vision, you will break the door. You will find a way. You will make a way where there is no way. You won't just always have an excuse. Get over your excuses. You need a godly vision, man. You're going to stand before Jesus Christ one day. If that doesn't fear you, may it start today. You will give an account of your life. That's why God is giving us a vision from heaven to build His church here in Kimberley. I ran and encountered a living God, and I connected. I bumped into my purpose. Thank God people invited me to church. I was so busy with my life, so caught up with me, myself, and I, the Holy Trinity. I prayed to God and read my Bible, but I didn't have a heavenly vision. I was caught up with me, myself, and I. You need to know when the Holy Spirit gets involved in your talents, you get elevated and directed for kingdom business. That's why you can be anointed for business. You can be anointed for teaching. You can be anointed for politics. You can be anointed for the ministry. Because you've chosen to be separated for a cause. That's what anointed means. There are people in this world that can sing. They're brilliant, extremely talented. But there's no anointing. They haven't surrendered that gift unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Oh, they may sing and they may get all the praise and all the money and all the contracts, and people will stand and applaud them and say, well done, that was amazing. And their faces can be splattered upon every magazine, every billboard in the world. And when they stand before Jesus Christ one day and heaven doesn't even know their name, and they stand there naked and ashamed. But you can have a talent. You might not be as gifted as people in the world. But you can say, Lord Jesus, here's my talent. I give it to you for kingdom purpose. Anoint me, Lord. And you can stand on stage and your character has been worked through and you're humble and you can give God all the glory. And people's lives can get changed in His presence with your gift. You can sing a song and you can release songs and music and healing through the anointing of the Holy Ghost, because God anoints people. Same in business. Same in politics. Same in sport. In every sector, there are people that God is going to raise up to, maybe even in artificial intelligence, in AI. In all sectors of society that would surrender their hearts to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Use me for your kingdom. Give me a vision that I can run with it, that I can write it down, that I can get busy with it and not get distracted by every distraction and every job opportunity that comes my way. You know, if you don't know where you're going, then anything that looks attractive will take you out of God's plan and His purpose for your life. Stay in your lane. Stay in your purpose. Stay where God has planted you. He's got your number. You don't have to get anxious. God knows you where you are. He can bless you in Kimberley. He can anoint you in Kimberley. He can give you a worldly vision from Kimberley. It's not your geographical location that is the limitation. It is your dedication that is your limitation. We should be devoted. We should be committed to the kingdom of God. And you watch, God can split open the Red Sea for you. God can empower you. God can anoint you for mighty works. He can heal you. He can deliver you. He'll bring people to you. You don't have to run to Him. Yeah. These blessings of God, the Bible says, will overtake you. Stop chasing the blessing, man. Position yourself in Christ on the rock. Yeah, there'll be a storm. Don't question everything. It's okay. Nobody likes to go through a storm, but it builds your faith. You come out stronger. Amen. Where's your eyes? On man or is it on God? Now your income or your source dries up. What now? And go arm wrestle people. And go belittle people. And make them feel bad and stupid. Put your faith in Jesus. Flex your faith muscles. Write your vision down. Start to speak over it. Start to declare over it. Say, Father, you're my source. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, say amen. James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. In other words, the Bible says God doesn't change. God gives us good gifts. Maybe you're a visitor here today, you say, yo, these people are loud. Yo, they stand up and they make a noise. No, we're just passionate. Please, don't judge. I say that because I was there as well. It's like, what gaan hier aan? This can't be God. I'm used to, you know, my frame was, my mindset where I came from was still te kerk, quiet. But when, one thing I've noticed, when you touch electricity, you're not quiet. I've shared this story before. I touched two live wires as a young boy. Man, I came alive. When you touch God, he makes you like, God doesn't make sinners better. You're not an upgrade of a sinner. No, he makes dead things come alive. When that baby is born, the doctor has to smack its bottom and we listen, we want to seize their life, and the baby goes, wah, there's a noise. It's a good sound. It's a praise unto God. God makes dead things come alive. The essence of God is not only your doctrine. It's just theologically correct. The essence of God is life and life in abundance. Where is God? Look where there's life. Where is the devil? Look where there's death. He puts before us life and death. You choose. You choose. Jy moet kies. You choose life or you choose death. I chose death for many times. And I thought it was God under the banner of Christianity. Thank God I found a people who were alive in Christ. We were dead in our sins. But Jesus came to make us, to wake us up. He gave us the gift of life. Oh, my time is up. Let me conclude. In Proverbs 16 verse 3, the Bible says, commit your work to the Lord. Commit your year, commit your days, commit your calendar for 2026 to the Lord. That's why you don't have to do it, but I normally, when the first day of the year, we don't have a service, the midnight service. I know many people do it. I think it's a good thing. Stay up at 12 o'clock or first day of the morning on the 1st of January. That's why we fast as well, like we've done. But take time out. Say, Father, I commit this year to you. Me and my wife, we commit our lives and our children to you. It says, commit your work to the Lord. Commit your job, your studies, your career, your vision to the Lord. And your plans shall be established. Established means it'll be firm foundation. You're not going to trample in mud or in a bottle. You're not going to stumble and fall. But when you commit your plans and your life and your works, your job, your career, your destiny, you commit it to the Lord, you will be established. Come on, how many of you want to be established? You want to be on solid ground. That means bring your career plans before Him. Submit your ambitions to the Lord and watch how He will establish them. Watch how God will prosper it. One of the best examples in the Bible is Bezalel, the master craftsman. One of the clearest biblical examples of a spirit-given vocation or vocational calling is this man, Bezalel. God did not just give him a vision for ministry, He filled him with His spirit to be an excellent craftsman. Exodus 31 verse 2 to 5 says, "See, I've called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I filled him with the spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in God." Some of you are created for social media, to do business on the online world. That's not in the scripture. I just did a pause there, okay? "To devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting and in carving wood, to work in every craft." This man, before he had an encounter with God's Spirit, he was just a normal dude. They say, just a plain old guy, just an ordinary man, a common man. But when the Spirit of God came upon him, he was anointed and to become a craftsman. Are you just a career pursuer? Or are you anointed in your destiny that God has for your life? God filled him with His Spirit for what? To preach? To prophesy? No, to work with his hands. A craftsman, a master craftsman, an engineer. To build the tabernacle with precision and excellence. This practical excellence directly advanced God's dwelling place, His house, and His people. Bezalel did not just use his natural skill. He was spirit empowered. It's important to understand, if we're going to talk about my vision, you should ask yourself, is my vision going to be spirit empowered? Or am I going to just run on my own strength? The Bible says in Jeremiah 17, "Cursed is the man who relies on the arm of his flesh." What does that mean? It means if you're going to make your own strength your God and your dependency, good luck. But if you're going to make God your strength, you have a certainty, you have a boldness, you have faith, you have substance, you have a surety. So he was spirit empowered to do his work for God's glory and kingdom purpose. So this is important to understand practically, 2026 in my career, that vocational visions of mastery, of becoming the best in your field, in your career, can absolutely be spirit initiated and kingdom aligned. In any sector, music, entertainment, sport, politics, business, entrepreneurship, education. You know, if you study the life of Joseph and the dreams that he had that led him to leadership, it's another powerful example of how God gave this young boy a vision. He had a dream. We all know what happened. He was arrogant with it, and he had to go through a certain process. And the dream, though it seemed impossible, came to pass. But his God-given dream led, despite the betrayal, the slavery, and the prison, it led him to have administrative leadership in Egypt. Joseph used engineering-like foresight to store grain during 7 years of plenty, which then preserved nations during 7 years of famine. His dreams were prophetic, and they resulted in secular, not super spiritual, secular expertise that fulfilled God's redemptive purpose for an entire nation. Joseph was not a priest or a pastor. He was a governmental official. God used him mightily in that role. Same with Daniel. He received God's given vision for his life, and he chose to live an anointed life, a separated life. While everybody was just living their own life, that's what we learned a lot at the men's conference. The challenge with men is they just give themselves over to whatever comes their way. They look at anything that they want. They eat whatever they want. They don't live a disciplined life. The Bible says there's nothing better. If you have vision, you won't cast off discipline. You will run with restraint. You will be like an athlete. You have vision. I can't get involved in that nonsense because I have a heavenly vision. I am burning. I am fueled by the vision God has for my life. I can't just play games. I can't backslide. I got to be in church on a Sunday. It's a holy day. It's a sacred day. So here's Daniel, gets this vision, and God elevates him, favors him. Hallelujah. How many of you are favored by God? God wants to give you favor, not just for the parking lot in front of the mall here in Kimberley. Wants to give you favor in your career, favor on your children, favor, God's favor. God's favor will take you places that you could never take yourself. God's favor will put you in the front of the line. That's what happened with Joseph. His family came and they were at the back of this long queue in Egypt, and Joseph recognized his brothers and said, hey, come to the front of the line. God's favor will put you in places. It's the blessing of the Lord that will make you rich and add no sorrow. How many of you want to follow God's plan for your life? It's His goodness. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of our life. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Our city needs goodness. Our city doesn't need harshness, judgment, suffering, pain, poverty, the curse. Our city needs God's goodness. He wants to anoint you to release His goodness. He wants to anoint you to make the city good and blessed. And the head and not the tail. So these people were anointed not just to prophesy, but in secular industries, to win the lost, to deliver people, to save people. Daniel was an advisor in foreign empires. He was not a full-time preacher. He was a governmental official. He stewarded wisdom that God gave him and justice in a pagan nation, in an unsaved world. You were so upset with your boss because he swears. Hello, this is Daniel. They lived in a pagan nation. You go serve the will of God in China, where if you openly confess Jesus Christ, you can be arrested, imprisoned for sharing the gospel. We must be smart who we want to just trade partners with. So there's areas that God wants to anoint you and give you a vision for your career, for your family, and I've touched on a few of them this morning. Living out your God-given vision, here's the bottom line. Visions and dreams are imparted by the Holy Ghost to harmonize fully with God's desire for salvation. Remember, the overarching vision is to see salvation. God blessed Joseph and favored him and anointed him to save not only his family, not only the nation of Israel or the future generations of Israel, but the nations of the world were saved through this man's vision. Same with Daniel. So it's important that when the Holy Ghost gives you a vision and you write it down, it's in harmony with God's desire for salvation for mankind on this side of the cross in the New Testament, to see people get born again and become disciples. Disciple comes from the word discipline, a disciplined follower of Jesus, not I switch on my faith and then I switch it off. Or I'll decide if I want to follow Jesus. No, that's not a disciplined follower of Christ. But when it's in harmony with God's desire for salvation, you will see talents are empowered by the Holy Ghost. Hearts are refined, desires are ignited, and God will equip you to live as His workmanship. You will no longer just have a job. You will no longer just have a paycheck. You will be walking in good works that God predestined you. And I want to tell you, if God predestined you, then nobody can stop you. Nobody can shut you up. Who can stop what God has done for you? The Bible says, who can curse what God has blessed? So no weapon that is formed against you can prosper. People may lie, people may cheat, people may try to kill you, people may try to destroy you, but I want to tell you, if God meant it, it's going to come to pass. That's where you want to be, in the will of God, in the ways of God. Otherwise, you're chasing money or a paycheck, building a pension for you and your family. That's nice, but that's selfish. Your vision must be bigger than you and your family. Asseblief toch. You are called to advance God's kingdom. You know, Jesus said, if you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life and your selfish ambitions and you say, oh, Lord, I want to use me to save other people, you will actually gain it. But if you're going to hold on to the little bit that you have, the Bible says you're going to lose it anyway. Let it go. Be a generous man. Say, God, I trust you with my life, my family. Give me a godly vision. And you see, it will come to pass. It's so important to understand this, that you are called to advance His kingdom. You're not just using your talents. You are being a faithful steward of what God has given you. That's why the Bible says in Matthew 13, 44, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that is hidden in a field. Listen now, please. I know we're going to close now. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and he bought that field. This was a man who connected with his God-given vision. He found something, Jesus. He found his salvation. This is Jesus giving a parable of what the kingdom of heaven is like. Somebody that stumbled across and found something that was so profound. He says it again in the next verse. The kingdom of heaven is like. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and he bought it. Now, God's not telling you to sell everything you have, okay? Unless he does tell that to you. But the principle is, you find something that is far more valuable than just this life. There's nothing more valuable that you can find than a God-given purpose. First, salvation, but then to be anointed for God's plan for your life. That's what Paul said. He said, who are you, Jesus? Number one. Number two, what do you want from me? When you connect with your God-given destiny, you write it down, you'll see it will come to pass. Amen. Make your vision yours. Take ownership of it. Make your church your vision. It's not the pastor's church, it's our church. Help build it. Help serve in it. Help giving it. It's our building. Make it yours. It's our home cell. It's our ministry. It's our city. Let's make it ours, and then let's help others make it theirs. Can't just be one or two vision. It's everybody's vision. We have to take time to discover our purpose in it. Dr. Miles Monroe, the late Dr. Miles Monroe, he said, vision is not ahead of you, it's inside of you. It's trapped, it's bottled on the inside of you. What would you do without a paycheck or without compensation? Your destiny is not a job, Dr. Miles Monroe said. It is an assignment from heaven for us to get busy with. And as I close this morning, I want you to know, God has a beautiful and a plan for your life. You are not called to be confused. You're not called to go from Monday to Sunday. Just like all these people in the Bible, when they submitted their plans to God, He ordered their steps. God will place a dream in your heart, a vision for your life and for this year. You are called to pursue it with everything that you have. As we delight ourselves in the Lord, the Bible says, He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your work to Him and He will direct your path. But work with excellence. Work with a steward. Work with a balance in your step, with faith and boldness. Get some grit if sometimes it feels like it's not coming to pass. Trust when your vision is submitted to God, it will contribute to His eternal purpose for your life. That's why your vision matters. Your role matters. Your faith is important. It's worth writing it down and even framing it. And then, like I said in the beginning, decree over it, declare over it. Speak like God said, let there be light. Let the birthing phase come out of your mouth and begin to declare what God has already shown and shared with you for your life. There will be faith. You will get excited. Some people are so bored because they're not getting busy with the things of God. It's not time to retire. Why will the world now tell you at 65, you are old enough, you must now go stop working and settle down? That's a vision from the pit of hell, man. Your vision is bottled up inside of you. You should be working all the days of your life. When you're 86, you can slow down. Amen. God's supreme vision is salvation for all people. The promise of dreams and visions is for everyone in the last days. Dreams and visions include your career and your calling. Natural talents become spirit-empowered when submitted to God. Bezalel was filled with the spirit for craftsmanship. God empowered him with skill, intelligence, and knowledge to build the tabernacle, showing vocational excellence can be spirit-led. Joseph and Daniel had God-given dreams for secular leadership, not only for the church, but for the world. Their visions led to administrative roles that fulfilled God's redemptive purpose. I want you to know that even this building, God anointed people to believe, to write down, placed a vision in Pastor Henny Susan's heart years ago, and they wrote it down, and it came to pass. Here we are. God anointed people in business to finance this building. God anointed engineers, architects, quantity surveyors, mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, civil engineers. I know all these names because I had to sit in all the professional meetings when they were building this building. I mean, when I started out, I didn't know. I just thought there was an engineer. I didn't know there were all types of engineers. God anointed them to build this building. And God's still going to anoint many of you to finance this last part. I have no doubt about it. But don't forget, and this is why you're here today, the overarching vision to see people get saved and restored back to heaven. Because no man can come to the Father unless he comes through the Son. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. You're sitting here today. I want you to know you are fulfillment of God's plan, of our vision, of God's vision. This building was built and created. Maybe it's something different. Maybe you didn't think it's a church. Some people actually believe it's a mall when they drive past the building. So we will put up crosses very soon. It's not a shopping mall. It's the house of God. It's a big one. We built it big. Why? So that people can get saved. Not to please our egos. Us a bliff. We built it like Noah built an ark. The Christians in this time, in this region, came together through a godly vision to see a house of God built, to see people get discipled, to see men and women be raised up in their careers, in their sectors, to raise godly children in the house of God, to give people in marriage, hallelujah, in this house, to dedicate babies in this house to the works of God, to send people as missionaries from this place, to see God anoint businessmen and entrepreneurs from this place. But most important, to give people the opportunity to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. You're sitting here today, you've never had an opportunity to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. I'm not asking about your spouse, your husband, your best friend, the person that's sitting next to you. I'm talking to you, sir. I'm speaking to you, ma'am. Is there a day in your life, like myself? I went to church, I read my Bible, But if I was honest with myself, I didn't know where I'd go if I die. Called myself a Christian. But that would like being, you sleep in a garage and you hope one day you're going to become a car. That's not going to happen. You can go to church and think you're going to become a Christian. It's not going to happen. People who go to heaven, they've confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've repented of their sins. They've acknowledged that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. I thank God. God constantly brought Christians across my path. I used to get upset with them. But then I realized it's not them, it's God. Through them, loving me, inviting me like a prodigal who was in the pigsty to come home and follow Him. Yes, it wasn't always easy. I had to deny myself. My pride would want to get in the way. But there came a day in a building like this where you're sitting here today, God, your heart stirring. You know that God has called you for more. You know that there is a heaven to gain, but there's a hell to shun. You can't be on the fence. You can't be passive. He puts before us life and death. You have to choose. So while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, if that is you, there's a stirring in your heart. You say, Pastor, I don't know. I don't know where I'll go if I die. I don't know. Then allow me the privilege to pray with you. A prayer I prayed many years ago. I thank God I prayed that prayer. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying. I want all these wonderful people who are wrestling with this question. On the count of three, I want to give you an opportunity to lead you in a prayer. But I need you to raise your hand and indicate to me right there where you're seated. On the count of three, if that's you, you know God is calling you to serve Him. Then please, unashamedly, boldly, forget the person, forget people now. You're safe. You're in God's house. There's no judgment here. This is a safe space. If that is you, then quietly, unashamedly, please, just lift up your hand. Say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I want to receive salvation today. One, two, three. Come on, just slip up your hand if that's you. Thank you. God bless you. Donkey. Bye, donkey. Thank you. I see those hands. God bless you. Thank you. The Bible says many are in the valley of decision. Many are wrestling with this decision. Choose life today. Come on, there's still more of you. I just sense in my heart that God has spoken to many of you and you're wrestling in your head. Listen to your heart today. Listen to your heart. Jesus says He stands at the door of your heart and He knocks. And if you open, He will come in. Come on, slip up your hand. You know it's you. One more time, you haven't raised your hand. You know God is calling you to serve Him today. Forget the person next to you. This is between you and God. What will people say at your funeral? This was a man of God or this was a good man? I'd rather choose the latter. I'd rather be a man of God, a woman of God. And that decision starts today. Please allow me the privilege to pray with you. One last time, you haven't raised your hand. You know God is calling you. You know there's more to life than just your job. Thank you. Many hands. If you've raised your hand, thank you. You can put it down. If you haven't raised it one last time, come on, slip it up high, boldly. Reach up to heaven. Heaven is reaching down to you. Come on, your faith this morning. Thank you. You've heard the good news that God loves you. He's not mad at you. Today you have to respond. Today you say, I'm ready to follow Jesus. Thank you. Allow me to pray with you. Thank you. Many hands. If you've raised your hand, you can put it down. Family, won't you all look at me? You beautiful people, there were many of you that raised your hands. I'm so thankful. But I need you to do one more thing for me. Because there's too many of you, I need you to do one more thing. I need you to make your way to the nearest aisle. It's not to embarrass you, please. Now listen. It's part of our confession. It's part of our faith. I want to pray with you here at the altar. It's a place of surrender. It's a place where we publicly make a stand for Jesus. Jesus died publicly on a cross. You can make a stand. No one is going to laugh at you. Nobody's going to think worse of you. In fact, the Bible says heaven rejoices when one person makes this decision. And there were many of you this morning. Many of you brought your loved ones, your friends, your family, your love, your encouragement will help them make the right decision. So as we all stand, we're going to sing a song and then I'm going to open up for all the beautiful people that raised your hands. Can we all stand up? Make your way, please. Come and meet me here. Let's cheer them on. Come on. Just come. Just come. Come on, massively. No other name can save you. Come on, we're going to cheer you.
No other name can restore. No other name can heal your heart.
Come on, there's more of you.
No other name.
Thank you, thank you.
Jesus.
Thank you. God is with you. Come. You know God's calling you for more.
No other name can restore.
Come on, there were many of you on the balconies.
No other
please
name
come.
Can heal your heart.
We're gonna wait for you.
No other name but
we're gonna be patient.
Jesus.
Please come.
No other name can save you. No other name can restore.
Pastor, why do we drag this out? Because people are still making a decision. Come. I was the guy. I was the last guy. How different my life would have been if I didn't come out. I thank God the pastor waited. Come on, let's just clap for another few more seconds. Just come, just come. Cry, baby. These are tears of joy. Tears of joy. The joy of your salvation. Come on, let's give these wonderful people a big hand. Thank you for coming out today. Thank you. We're so proud of every one of you. Thank you. It takes a man, a woman of substance, and are serious. You mean business with God to come and stand here today. We honor you. Thank you. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. It's a prayer of faith. Just say these words after me, but say it loud enough that you can hear your own words. You can place your hand on your heart if you want to, because faith is a function of the heart. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, this morning I repent of all my sins, and I publicly acknowledge that I need a Savior. Jesus, I believe that you are the Savior of the world. You came from heaven, dying a cross for all my sins. You went to hell. You conquered the grave. And on the third day, the Father resurrected you. I put my faith and my trust in you from this day forward. I belong to you. I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.